Got an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? You're not alone. There are literally thousands of people out there with great podcast ideas for either their businesses or simply for entertainment, but they don't know the first thing about podcasting. The DBM Production Empire has been successfully producing high-quality podcasts since 2009 and has received millions of downloads. Yes, millions. And now the DBMPE has decided to pull back the curtain and offer their podcast production services to the rest of the world. Unlike some other podcast companies, our team will work with you from the creation of your podcast idea all the way to getting it released to the marketplace. We work with you in three different phases. The development phase, which includes getting your ideas to a workable action plan, the creation of your RSS feed, and if you don't have your own artwork already, we can help you with that too. Next is the hosting phase, which includes a safe place to launch and house your podcast episodes. And of course, the distribution phase, where we deliver your content to major podcast markets like iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Player FM, Podomatic, and many more. We'll do all of this for just $10 a month plus a one-time setup fee. So what are you waiting for? Call or email us for a free consultation today.
The views and opinions expressed in the following podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the DBM Production Empire. That's how you know it's good.
You're listening to the DBM Production Empire.
DBMPE.
Now celebrating 10 years on the air, online, and in your ears.
My God, has it been that long?
Join the millions of subscribers and be a part of the Empire today at www.dbmpe.com.
My name is David, and I am unfucking relatable. Normally, this is a show where I tell a story about how I'm an asswipe, and other people are on here to ridicule me. I'm going to try something a little bit different. This week, I know that we had a little bit of a delay, so thank you for sticking with us. And when I say us, I mean me, because it's just me. All alone. Well, I'm scared. To be honest, this whole podcast is scary. When I first started this podcast, it started off as a joke blog that people thought was funny, and then it kind of just became like I remember being asked, like, "Well, why don't you make a podcast about that?" I'm like, That's a stupid idea. How would I even do this? What do I just tell a story and then people react? Like, oh, so that's the show? Cool. Somehow we're here halfway through the second season, and I'm feeling like always. I mean, as the blog and this podcast are examples of, I'm feeling reflective. Why more so than usual? I turned 40 recently. They say life begins at 40. Well, I'll be honest. I never thought I'd make it to 40. I didn't think I'd make it to 30. I kind of had that, I don't know, like all my heroes are dead sort of a thing where, you know, I just never imagined myself growing old. My father died fairly young. I mean, he was, I don't know what the math is, probably not much older than I am now. And the idea that I would grow older and decrepit and unable to do anything for myself one day, like, that was a horrifying proposition, and I was not at all interested. I mean, I grew up idolizing rock stars. So when, like, Kurt Cobain kills himself when I was 15, and kind of, you know, had that feeling of kinship, and never, like, it was just a foreign thought that one day I would be 40 years old, alone, in a room, talking into a microphone about how sad my life is. Hey, it's not all bad. The 40th birthday party was pretty good. We had a bunch of people. We went to dinner at a Greek place. Tried octopus for the first time, like actual grilled octopus, not calamari. Guess it's there's a difference. So I was told by one Greek person. Did karaoke after. I'm trying to remember all the songs I did, but weirdly, I seem to remember all the singers being people that had killed themselves or died young. I remember Jeff Buckley's Last Goodbye. Hard song to do, by the way. Also hard, Dio's Rainbow in the Dark. Also dead, did not die young, but did die of cancer? I think that's right. There is no sign of the morning coming. We're all left on our own, like a rainbow in the dark. Also recently, I don't know if you guys know this. I also host a show called Netflix and Spill, where myself and my co-hosts, we talk about Netflix shows. And I thought a good one would be the new Ricky Gervais show, Afterlife. Because I am a Ricky Gervais fan, even though the show Derek is terrible and the David Brent movie was not good. But I love his show Extras, and when there's something about what he does when he kind of puts a piece of himself into the show that speaks to me. Extras was hilarious, but also very depressing. About the trappings of fame, the pursuit of fame, and then getting what you want, and finding out that they're wholesome stories at the end, even though there's a lot of cursing. You kind of learn the lesson that that the success and everything is not what's important, and there's a similar. There's a similar thing in the show Afterlife. Afterlife is about a man who, his wife of 25 years passes away, and he just doesn't care about anything anymore. So I related to this and the fact that, I don't care about anything either, is what I kind of realized, like, at the end of the day, I thought I just was mellowing at an older age, but turns out nothing matters that much as I thought it did. I don't really have anything in my life that I really feel like tethers me to anything. I feel I'm pretty free. If it weren't for working two jobs, I would probably have. It's not that I don't have responsibility either. It's that I don't have any responsibilities I want, I guess is the way to look at it. Anyway, we can get back to that. So the character in the show, he goes around and he tells people, he basically just says everything to anyone that he wants to say without any fear of repercussions, because the way he figures it, he has nothing left to live for. And only his dog keeps him from, like, he tries to kill himself. Well, sorry, spoiler. Tries to kill himself numerous times. And it's always his dog that stops him from, that kind of just comes in the room and he sees the dog. He can't kill himself in front of the dog. I can totally understand that. My thought is, if you really wanted to kill yourself, you would have closed the door. Because, like, once he's in the bathtub, Like, come on. Dude, you close the door. Why do you want your dog in there anyway? It's weird. My mom's like that. She'll take a shower, dog's in the shower. Well, not in the shower, but in the room. And it's like, I get it. You know, the dogs get separation anxiety, but it's only like 10 minutes. It's okay. Yeah, the Ricky Gervais character, you know, he got 25 years with this woman. That's a good run. So if he wants to off himself, you know, that's cool. Like, not cool, but, you know, I understand it. He has no want to, at least he doesn't believe at the time that he has any want to be with anyone else. He doesn't seek companionship in any kind of way. What's cool about the show is that he's got this video that his wife left for him. Who knows how long it is because it goes throughout the whole entire show. Basically telling him, I love you, but you're useless. So here's how to live now that I'm not here. And I feel like on a regular basis, I would like a video of somebody. I hate people telling me what to do. I hate repeating myself too. Like when people don't hear me. Like I definitely spoke very clearly. I am not repeating myself. I will sometimes say something really jerky. Like, what was I speaking Swahili? Now one day somebody will say, yes, I'm waiting for that day. It hasn't come. But until then, we have this show. There's a certain extent that I'm like this. I keep saying Ricky Gervais' character because no matter what he should just be named Ricky in every show because he's just Ricky Gervais. He doesn't really act. There's just different degrees of Ricky, except for, I guess, Derek when he's a mentally challenged guy, which, man, as a guy who is not afraid to use the word retarded and the repercussions thereof, even I have to say, what a terrible idea for a show. Man, you just do. I mean, learn something from Tropic Thunder. You just don't go full, I find that for the most part, if you've listened to the show, you must realize I pretty much say whatever I want and don't so much worry about the repercussions. There have been certain episodes this season, especially, where that's been pretty evident. And it's not like I think I'm some unimpeachable, untouchable Trump figure. I just don't care. I guess that's maybe just my philosophy on comedy itself is that nothing is really sacred. You should be able to make fun of just about anything. Maybe there are, I mean, you should be able to make fun of anything, but then there are just things that aren't funny. So that's where you draw the line. Like, well, wait, is it funny? I mean, they always say like, well, AIDS isn't funny, so you shouldn't. Well, no, it's not. So why make jokes about AIDS? That's dumb. My part-time job, I work at a liquor store. And I always get these assholes who want to come in and just tell me jokes. I'm like, look, I have to tell jokes here to make this go by faster. Okay? I tell jokes here so that I don't smash my head into a wall having to sell liquor to ne'er-do-wells. There are really only two kinds of people that go into liquor stores. I mean, based on my visual prism, there are total deadbeats that I am so glad I'm not them. The guys who come in buy their little pint of Skol vodka and then they come back an hour and a half later and get another one. Bro, just get the fifth. Get the 750 milliliter. I mean, is this an alcoholic's way of showing restraint? You have to make another trip. That's just dumb. My dad, the alcoholic, did not know from restraint. But also, like my father, or like me, I guess, he didn't care either. But he only ever put himself in danger, to my knowledge. Where's I going with this? So these gentlemen who will come in and make jokes, and they're always guys. Because guys, almost every guy thinks they're funny. Hell, I think I'm funny. If you're listening to this, you either think I'm funny or enjoy the ridicule at my expense, or both. I'll take either. But they always come in and they make jokes, or they're not always, but there's always that guy who's he's a big man on campus type, but you know, never quite, it didn't translate into the real world. Like, oh man, I'm the varsity athlete and great. I got all the chicks in high school, but now I'm just the middle manager for Circle K. That's based on an actual conversation. they'll come up and they'll buy something like those like spiked seltzer waters, which, look, no one should be made fun of for those. There are people with actual gluten allergies and they don't want to drink beer because they can't. So they gotta have something. Don't take it away from them, asshole. But they'll be buying them. Well, these are for my wife. They all want to, and actually it shouldn't even be, it's not even just at the liquor store. But yeah, they act like their wife is like, just this huge burden on them or something. Like, oh, can you believe this? Women, right? Like, no, what? Tell me. Complete the thought. I want to hear it. In fact, can you repeat it in the text that you're sending to her now? Like, see how that goes over. Like, everybody deserves a little, or not deserves. Everybody enjoys a little bit of ribbing. Well, maybe not everybody. Not everybody can take it. But, just because, I don't know. I guess watching this show made me think, man, there's a bunch of people just taking things for granted. And I know it's a television show. Okay? I do. But when you don't really feel like you have anything to, I regularly think about my life and the choices I made and what's important, and I've definitely not always made the right decisions, and I don't know that all that much is really important to me. I don't feel like I'm taking anything for granted. Because if I say things, you know, I feel like my actions largely make up for that. Now, I will say, a friend of mine found out about the 40th birthday party through a group text that I'm apparently on, but I'd never look at because it's usually riddled with useless videos and GIFs. Yeah, I said GIFs. I don't care what people, GIF is a peanut butter. Okay. So we're straight. But there are things that, and actually during the Super Bowl season, it was all this Tom Brady love and it was making me ill. Couldn't deal with it. But yeah, apparently he found out, oh, wait, he's having a birthday party? And he's come out for my birthday. He lives like, I don't know, 2 hours south of here. And he's come up to do like, to see stage shows that I've helped put on. And it's like, dude, you live 2 hours away. You've got three kids. Three? Two? I'm a terrible friend. But, you know, I don't want to put somebody into a position where they feel obligated, or I understand that he might want to. And well, yeah, he's got two, maybe three kids. Maybe he wants to get away from them. I don't know. But, I guess I should have given him the choice. That was kind of shitty on my part. But maybe that's because I don't really feel like I'm worth you coming all that way just to see for like, and he probably wouldn't have stayed the whole time. He probably would have come to dinner and then drove back 2 hours again. And man, I don't think I would do that for anybody. so why would somebody do that for my party? I mean, appreciate the thought, and I hope if he's listening, I do feel bad that I didn't at least invite you. But no, I would have told you, don't bother coming, though I appreciate the gesture. Of course, now he's probably like, I wasn't going to come. Fuck you. That's fine. I understand. But something else that the show brought up was that we're not, now, understand that Ricky Gervais is an atheist, and I'm at best an agnostic. Okay, I don't believe that there's some. I'd like to. I'm like the Mulder of religion. I would like to believe there's something greater than all of us that made all of this make some sort of sense. Well, you've got to admit, it all seems a little ridiculous. And that's where I'll kind of leave that. So understand, there are no religious overtones in this show. I mean, he doesn't even go full making fun of religion like he does in other stuff. He's just kind of, and it actually mirrored my feelings on the matters that, like, you know, if it makes you, who am I to tell people how to feel good, you know? I enjoy many, many different kinds of ways to make myself feel good. They are not faith-based. They are chemical-based. But, well, not chemical. Also, well, I guess technically THC is a chemical. Some are natural. Mostly chemical. But, yeah, it's the understanding that we're, and this is kind of, it's not a religious thing. It's more of a philosophical thing. That we're not all here on Earth together for just ourselves. That we are here for other people. And all we have, it was a nice sentiment. All we have is each other at the end of the day. And that's nice to believe. I don't really buy that either, because And there are people that I feel close to, and if they were in, you know, some sort of jam, I don't want to say that's a lie, but over time I've become really selfish, I guess, in a way that I kind of feel like I had to survive. As I've compromised and had taken from me enough that I just said, screw it. Like, why should I put myself out there anymore? He says on this podcast. That's ready. That's here for all you guys. Yeah. Why am I putting myself out there? Truth be told, this podcast, when I started it, I had panic attacks because I was drudging up a lot of stuff I didn't want to think about and hadn't thought about or suppressed for a really long time. So I actually do take anti-anxiety meds, which I think actually did me a good service overall. I'm a much more even keel. I don't really get upset about anything, but it does make me wonder, like, is it also hindered my ability to actually truly care about anything very much? Like, am I so stuck in the middle that I can't get any highs or lows? I have a hard time, and this was before the medication, really. I don't really get too excited for things. I really wish I had like some sort of childhood enthusiasm. I think the last time I did was actually when the first Avengers movie came out. It was the closest thing I can think of, like real anticipation, like Christmas morning sort of as a kid. Now Christmas comes along. I just don't want to deal with this. And I don't even have kids. And I like to actually say that I don't want kids. I'm 40 years old. Let's be real. Having kids now is a stupid idea. I'm just, because by the time they'd be old enough to do anything, I'd be, I never want to be that like codger in the rascal at the high school graduation or something like that. You know, just that, oh, who's that old bit? Who's that old bastard over there? Well, that would be me. And I don't want that. I had put a deadline on that. Like, if it doesn't happen by the time I'm 35, forget it. Now, that being said, that prospect has not been on the table for quite a long time, because that's in and of itself a good question. Am I a master of self-sabotage? You betcha. Am I awkward in social situations? Believe it or not. Well, okay. No, you believe it. You've heard the show before. But where does the self-sabotage come from? Is it the idea that I don't feel like I deserve something like that? Or do I subconsciously really not want that? I've always felt like I never really wanted your average. I say average. That sounds mean. Or dismissive, or I didn't want the typical. I thought, and this goes back to Debbie, I thought that everything was this like unbridled insanity. Like that's what a relationship should be. We weren't really like, we were partners like Bonnie and Clyde were partners. Like we were just like crazy people. And that was exciting and destined to burn out long before anything substantial could come of it. And it would have destroyed us both. And I guess that's kind of another reason why I thought, well, I'm never going to reach this age, because I must not have wanted to. The idea of self-destruction and enjoying for the most part that time in my life, I mean, it was like a drug being taken away. I will say, I don't know if I've talked on this show about the first time I ever tried acid. If I have, I'm sorry, I'm going to do it again. But I'll keep it brief. So acid in its ideal state, or in the ideal experience, which I've now done it two other times, and I've had one great, one bad, one mixed. My advice would be, and I think I actually just came up on the anniversary of this, which is weird, of the first time. I can say, be in a safe space and be around and be in a positive group. And on acid, you sort of feel like you see how the building blocks of the world. You can sort of almost feel the flow of the universe. And it doesn't matter what you believe. Like, it really doesn't matter what, like, your religious or philosophical beliefs. You are in that moment and you sort of feel at one in the universe. And when it's gone, it's the worst. It's just when that feeling where you feel like you can't feel that connection anymore. It's the absolute worst feeling. And then the next day when your brain is literally feeling as though it is fried, it's like being in a wake, but for something that you experienced and you have no connection to anymore except for the memory. People talk about, oh God, I'd be scared about having acid flashbacks. Like, shit, I'd love an acid flashback. I loved that first time. I forgot where I was going with that too, to be honest. I was getting really caught up in that moment again. Just the memory of it. Yeah, Jesus, where was that? I don't know. But anyhow, like, it kind of brings me along to, like, around to the idea that, you know, we're all here for each other. We're here to pick each other up. That maybe is like the basis of the universe or something, but I don't always feel like I have. And I think we all feel like this. We must all feel like there are times when nobody can reach us or no one can help. And there are technically those times, you know, people have money problems, other emotional problems that not everybody can relate to or understand. Like, for instance, in Afterlife, there are these like two teenage robbers that are going around hitting people with hammers. And Ricky Gervais just like, because he's like, whatever, nothing to lose. He sees this lady they were trying to rob her and hit her with a hammer in the head. And he walks up and just like takes the hammer from the guy. And then they drive away. And I think it's fairly obvious that they're the same robbers that tried to rob him earlier, sans hammer. Well, now they are sans hammer again. And he decides to try heroin. And, you know, all these things that, you know, when you don't feel like there are any, what's the worst that could happen? I guess there's not even repercussions, but it's like, oh, what's the worst that could happen? I die? Oh, well. There is something freeing about that. I mean, the idea of truly feeling like you have nothing else to lose is actually kind of empowering, because then you're, and it kind of can work both ways. And if you're, say, like a criminal or something, I have nothing else to lose. That's when you get like really reckless and other people get hurt. Whereas in a story like this and something, that's the thing I can relate to in the story more than anything. I don't want to make other people feel bad, I guess, but I don't necessarily see how what I might do to myself would impact anyone. I wonder if, I don't know if everybody, if anybody else has wondered that, or I'm sure other people have. Hell, I remember when I was like 10 or 11, I had a nervous breakdown because I could not understand reality I remember sort of rocking myself back and forth asking like, oh God, asking myself, how do I know what's real? And so, and maybe that's a detachment that I have from life and from other people that I wonder if I was gone tomorrow, what would be the difference? Okay, the show's over. Presumably. Maybe somebody comes on and impersonates me. That'd be fun. Good luck. Maybe. But I don't know, a great lasting impact. I always thought I was meant, and maybe I wasn't groomed as a child to think, I was groomed as a child to think that I was smarter than everybody else. Test scores said that I was smart, and you know, they probably gave me a nice big head to fit all my smarts in. But I'm pretty much your classic, like, he's got all this potential and squandered every last bit of it because the traditional way of doing things has never appealed to me. I didn't. Oh, you could be a doctor. I don't want to do that. I don't know. There's probably any number of reasons for it. First, it's hard work. And that's, based on who my, it's weird because I come from fairly hardworking people. My father, was the exception, I suppose. It's just funny how like he's the person I probably of anyone I'm related to wanted to emulate least. And of course, the one I probably emulate the most, I don't just share his name. I have to share every character defect and whatever else, every addictive behavior. But yeah, I mean, I come from hardworking people. My grandparents on both sides. My mom's a hard worker. I'm like allergic to it. Like it's unless it's for something. Like, I never cared about school. Everything is so much of life is just a means to an end. You tend to resent all the things that you have to do because you don't want to do them. And I definitely, I still do. And I know that, supposedly the journey is the best, the most important thing, but yeah, the journey is so littered with trash that I don't want to have to pick up. And, so I could have been a doctor. Could have been a lot of things. Most recently, I was told I should be an anesthesiologist. All right, cool. Like that. Or x-ray technician. That was the other one. I don't want to be around sick people. I just don't. I'm sick enough. I have Crohn's disease. I can't even be around these sick people. You know what that would do to me? My immune system's just horseshit. I felt creative, and everybody who's ever felt creative, oh, of course. Well, I should be a writer. I should be an actor. I should be a filmmaker, a musician, what have you. I still harbor those thoughts. Like, well, maybe I feel like I have a reasonable amount of talent. I could do these things. But why do I choose the art? Because those are the unrealistic, not even unrealistic, but like, I think we talked about this on another show where I purposely chose women that I knew things wouldn't work out. So is that what I've done in wanting to do a life in arts? Is it like, and the idea that, well, you're never going to make it, so the pressure's off. Don't worry about it. Like, you don't have like it. Look, your future doesn't rest on this. You just keep plugging away, man. If something happens, it happens. It's like the lottery. You just keep playing, but like it doesn't determine that when it fails, it doesn't determine your future, because you kind of knew that it wasn't going to anyway. You weren't going to succeed, because your whole life has been about not really succeeding. But, I mean, you kind of, but doing it that, but I don't know, living that way, it's sort of a, there's a nice bit to that, because you don't regret, because you're at least still trying. You may not succeed, you don't really. And I shouldn't even say that, because I'm not a failure. I'm a quitter. I've quit on everything, basically. I mean, I've written so much stuff that's like, well, I don't think anybody's gonna do it. Forget it. I just give up, or just stop writing it. Because I am part of that first generation of, I guess, needing instant gratification. And and we've been coddled. So yeah, I've been lying to you all for however long this has been going. I'm not truly in the room by myself. He's just looking down. Now he's looking. Patrick?
Boobies.
Well, okay. So, first of all, Dio did die of cancer. He died of stomach cancer.
Oh, cool.
So, thank bonus you to you.
Thank you, fact checker.
Yeah. I didn't check any other fact.
Every member of Black Sabbath will at some point have cancer except Ozzy.
Yeah. Ozzy will live forever.
Yeah. Why couldn't it be Dio who lived forever?
Well, Dio has rocked for a long, long time. Now it's time for him to pass the torch.
Who did he pass it to?
To Jack Black, man.
Oh, God.
No, but I just want to tell you that, okay, if you were gone tomorrow, there are people that'll miss you.
That's what they all say.
But it's easy to feel that way. It's easy to put yourself into this mindset where you're not important, but you are important. You're important to me. You're important to Nick. I don't know what Nick would do without you. Move to New Orleans or something.
I was going to say, yeah, he's going to move to New Orleans and open a theater that I will have no part in.
Yeah. Well,
it's too hot down there.
It is really, really hot. My eyeballs sweat when
I've never been there, but it's too hot and it's dirty looking.
It is pretty dirty, but
it looks filthy.
But it's magic too, though. Let me tell you that.
Dirty, filthy, sweaty magic.
Yeah. But you have a lot to live for. And you shouldn't think that way, because there are people that you're important to. You're important to me. I wouldn't be here right now. Well, I would be here, because I mean, this is my house.
Exactly.
But, I mean, I I wouldn't be recording you if you weren't here. So it's important.
That's what they call in the medical field cold comfort.
Oh, cold comfort from Shane? I don't know.
No.
That's in a song.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
What's that?
I don't remember.
Cold comfort from Shane. I'm going to say it's probably like a Fleetwood Mac song.
Probably,
or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm into, so. But anyways, I really just want you to know that you are important and that you make a difference and that thinking that you don't make a difference is very typical of every single person. You are exactly the same as every person.
How
is.
Dare you?
You, unfucking relatable. Everybody's unfucking relatable. I'm unfucking relatable. You're unfucking relatable. They're unfucking relatable. The whole damn world is unfucking relatable.
I think you hit on something important. If we are all unfucking relatable, why are we not on? Why has everybody not already gone on to DVMPE.com, clicked on the merch tab? And gotten their unfucking relatable shirt and or mug.
Ooh, the mug. I got to get me one of those.
Yeah.
When I have my coffee at work. Yeah. But I don't think I could have it at work.
Why?
Because it says unfucking relatable on it.
No, it doesn't. It's got the X's on it.
Oh, well, the X's still mean something. People still know what that means.
I'll just put tape over it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll just put tape over that in your picture. And
uh-huh.
Yeah. So I'll just have a white mug.
It was a good investment.
Yeah. But seriously, we all suffer the same way. It's universal. We all have the same feeling. We all want to be loved, but we feel like we come short of that. We all have lost somebody that means something to us and suffer from that.
Do we all think we might be sociopaths?
I have actually questioned that about myself before.
Okay.
And turns out I'm not, because I actually care a lot about people.
I would agree with that. You do, and that's also a character flaw.
It is a character flaw. It is a severe character flaw, but it's one that I'm willing to live with.
It's just... That's,
you're not a sociopath.
Wow. I want to be.
Psychopath, maybe, but not sociopath. Oh,
I'll take it. I'll take it. Ooh, heard that.
Sorry.
I'm glad we got these headphones on. Now I can hear everything.
Yeah,
it's pretty great.
I made him wear headphones for this.
They're very comfortable. I enjoy it a lot. Well, this was an atypical episode. How long did I just go?
45 minutes right
now.
No
kidding.
Yeah, no kidding.
I did it.
You did.
I mean, I definitely lost my way a couple times.
You did, yeah.
And I'm sober, which is really, I mean, if I didn't have to drive like 40 minutes to get here and then back, I wouldn't have been for this. But I do feel better.
Yeah.
I feel, I was very nervous for this episode because sadly, just because I was like, can I go for 40 minutes talking? I don't know. Cause every episode I said I would be happy with 30 minutes. I was like, and I'm shocked actually. I mean, I hear me getting a little froggy here.
Yeah.
I think I started that way though. So that's really,
but you did really good. It was really good.
Well, that's,
and it was totally relatable. Again, your unfucking relatable is relatable.
Stop trying to dispel this the mystique of the show.
Yeah. In a booby calendar, though, let me just tell you, it is a full-size calendar. It's not a desk calendar like we said, and you would just take note and just put on their boobies.
I still think a boob-a-day calendar is a great idea.
Yeah, maybe you should make it.
I'll start with my own.
And that was not my creation, by the way. It was Patrick Dempsey in You Can't Buy Me Love.
But that dude bought a girlfriend.
Yeah. But it worked.
And that girl killed herself.
Yeah, she did. She did.
So think about that.
And she probably felt as if...
She was a Hollywood sex slave.
She probably felt as if she wasn't important to people, too.
Well, no, because she could be bought for money.
Well, her character could be bought for money.
What did she ever do after that?
She got on the back of his riding lawnmower sailed off into the sunset.
Not in the movie. I meant in the rest of her career.
She was a drug addict, I believe.
There you go. Yeah. Because she believed... Because she... Here's the thing. Because he was a nerd who paid for her and then grew up to be McDreamy.
Yeah. Well, he was totally a geek and then he became totally chic.
I know that's a line from the movie, too.
It is, yeah.
The one friend was kind of hot. I mean,
the one that he was in the wagon with. I forget what he called the wagon. I got to watch that movie again.
That'd be if we could only get the rights to do a commentary track of watching that movie. Well, I would also do. We should just do the like '90s Patrick Dempsey. Although that was '80s, wasn't it?
I think it was early 90s, actually.
Okay.
But you know what they do now is there's this new concept with podcast where they take 5 minutes of a movie and make a whole episode about it until they get through the whole entire movie, 5 minutes at a time.
That would be long.
It would be, yeah.
I don't know if I want to do all that.
Well.
Hey, eventually we're going to have to get that... Veronica Mars show going.
Yes.
But until then. So this is the last episode for undisclosed, as yet undetermined amount of time. Just taking a little break mid-season. Going to come back, finish out the second half. I'd say probably no later than 2 months from now. Oh my God, I'm sorry. It's such a long wait.
Well, they could re-listen to season one.
They absolutely could re-listen to season one. They could re-listen to the previous four episodes and this one. And you can go on YouTube. Patrick painstakingly.
I did, yeah.
And had to go out and buy a piece of equipment. Special adapter to...
It cost me $16.
I will have to get you back for
that. No, you won't. Because I'm going to keep it forever and ever and ever.
Because you are going to rip more DVDs to...
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, all of them. All of them.
Maybe you could have a bootleg digital copy store.
Oh, yeah.
Really bootleg because it'll look like crap.
I used to do that back in the day, actually.
All right, well, we don't want to incriminate you.
Yeah, well, actually, I went to an all-guys school. And
is that the incriminating part?
It was, yeah. And during high school, I would go to this one shop that would sell me porn. And I would record the porn and sell it to the kids at school. And, yeah, I made a fortune.
I will be honest. I had found a wallet, like one of those CD wallets of porn.
Oh, man, would have been like $2,000 for me.
Well,
right
okay.
There.
Well, no. I was not in high school. I must have been, I don't know, 23, 24, something like that. Maybe a little older than that. I don't know the timeline exactly. But I know where I was, and I know where I was working, and I know the people, my coworkers that I sold them to.
Nice. See, we have a lot in common.
We're
both unfucking related.
We both sold porn to people, although you were selling them to fellow minors.
Yes. But I was a minor, so I don't know if that's
so
wrong.
Even if caught, slap on the wrist.
Well, the FBI.
I mean, and some of those kids already had... tough wrists.
I used to laugh at the FBI warning in the beginning.
Yeah, you like the FBI warning at the beginning of Logman?
Yes, that was very clever.
I don't know exactly what movie I took that from.
Yeah, but I copied it, so...
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
It's funny because go on YouTube, watch Unfucking Relatable Presents Logman. Make your comments. put them on YouTube or contact us on Facebook. I keep saying us. I want it to be us. I want to share this. I want to share the credit and the blame.
Share the burden.
Definitely. So the Facebook page, we've got.
But then you'd have to share some of the sweet money that you make from making this.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I make back the $20 I put into it myself.
I put $16 in.
That's so true. You basically. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Like, well, there will be a whole episode where we talk about all the monies and that's our season finale, folks. If you go, go on there, make your comments on YouTube, on the Unfucking Relatable Facebook page, Twitter at UnrelatableCast, and now on Instagram. At Philosophy of Idiocy.
Wow, I gotta look that up.
Yes, I was having a lot of difficulty with that actually.
With
the Instagram because I had a personal Instagram, and I kept trying to change it, and I kept trying to change the name to Unfucking Relatable.
Yeah,
and it just kept saving right over it. So then when I tried to start a new one, it's like, no, this already exists.
But it doesn't.
Yeah. I'm like, you're full of shit, Instagram.
That's what you should have called it. You're full of shit, Instagram.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. But instead, at Philosophy of Idiocy, I'm like, well, whatever. I didn't post that much. There is a little bit of a hint for a later episode on that Instagram, if you will. Hopefully episode 9. Teaser. Maybe not really. We'll see. It'll be a later episode for sure. A special live episode if anyone is willing to take us and our traveling road show back.
Yeah.
Our circus. Well, thank you for having me at your home, recording my 40-minute rant.
Well, now we're on 55 minutes.
So. Well, yeah, you joined in. So now it feels.
We talked about boobies. So
well,
I had to do it because the one episode you said I started talking about boobies when it was actually you.
I don't think so. I've been wrong before.
Yeah. You'll be wrong
oh
again.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I said that.
You admitted it, and I have it on tape.
Actually,
not tape.
Well, you know
it's
what?
Digital.
I shared that burden too.
There you go.
So yeah, join. Go on YouTube, and go on the dvmp.com. Get some merch.
Some swag.
It's not though. If people use swag improperly,
yeah, they do.
Swag is free, kids.
Yeah.
Like, there's no. Believe me. DVMP, no swag.
No swag with the DVMP.
No. Well, you know. However, the DVMP can help you put your get your podcast up and running.
Yeah.
I don't have the particulars. But go on there if you want to start a podcast.
And I have to say that they do give out swag because they put out these episodes free of charge.
That's
every
true.
Every single person.
That this show is swag.
It is swag. Very swaggy.
Unswagging relatable. Patrick, you are the host of the Ghostly Podcast, co-host of the Ghostly Podcast.
I am one of the hosts, yes.
And I want to, again, thank you for joining us. If you guys like, you know what? Normally, we don't do this, but this is a very, again, abnormal episode. Why don't you give a little synopsis. Synopsis, you show.
Synopsis. Okay, so what we do is we debate ghost stories, and we let the listener decide if it's real or not.
See? Concise. It's not that dissimilar from this show.
No,
where
or any other show.
In a weird way, because there's a lot of debate that goes on the show about whether or not I am wronged or in a very real way, I am living the Curb Your Enthusiasm life.
Yeah, definitely.
Not so much this episode. Pretty sure Larry David would not go on for 40 minutes, but, you know, feeling sorry for himself.
No, but you shouldn't feel sorry.
He also probably would get paid a lot to do
it. He would, yeah, like millions.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that is his house in the show. That's crazy. Well, until next time, this has been my life. And, well, I don't know that you were really laughing at it this week, but I thank you for joining me.
Peace out.
Memoriam Development.
Greetings, Earther scum!
Hey, friend, don't despair.
No need to slit any throats yet.
Do you find that you're suffering from a lack of insanity? A lack of hilarity?
I've got a solution for you.
It's perfectly natural.
It's Mr. Wiggly's Moist and Happy Friendship Garden.
You aren't gonna like it.
What is it?
It's a new sketch comedy podcast from Memoriam Development and the DVMPE.
I came up with these shitty names.
Everyone is so damn sensitive these days.
What can you expect out of Mr. Wiggly's Moist and Happy Friendship Garden?
Been known to dissolve teeth on contact.
Goddamn gross is what it is.
Well, this sucks.
Ah, applesauce.
That's what this stuff is.
Really makes people uncomfortable.
I like it.
Keep going.
Mr. Wiggly will make you say,
don't fuck them.
In front of Grandma. Oh, God, no. I'm not a monster.
Now you're getting violent.
Oh, God, really? Okay, wrap it up.
I'm not cleaning that up again.